The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land Grant Institution in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's June the 10th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us later to take up the energy markets. Along the way, we'll hear about crop conditions from the five top corn-growing states in the nation. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this: nearby July soft red winter wheat at $8.09, up 20.5 cents today. September's at $8.25, 20.5 higher, and December futures at $8.49, up 20.5. Corn futures, new contract highs, up 16 cents at $6.73.25. September at $6.86.75, up 16.25, and December futures settled above $7, $7.02.75. Up 17.5 cents. The March futures at 7.17, up 17.75. July futures $14.46.5, down 5.5. The August at 14.49.25, down 4.5 in the bean pit. And September at 14.43.5, down 6.5 cents. November soybeans down 6 cents at $14.41. July bean meal 378.50, up 7.50. July bean oil off 165, down 165 at 62.65. For the day. June lean cattle, 93.50, 32.5 cents higher. The August futures at 99.62.5, up 65 for the day. And the August feeder cattle, $110.97.5, 100 weight, up 30 cents. September futures at 112.30, up 42.5. June lean hog, 73.72.5, down 25 cents. July futures there at $73.10, up 17.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Your unwanted car, truck, or boat can stop taking up valuable space in your driveway and help pay for your favorite WILL programs. Donate your unwanted vehicle to WILL through the CarTalk Vehicle Donation Program. To learn more, go to willpledge.org and click on Donate Your Car. Thanks.
Let's take a look now at what's been happening in the outside market for the day. Nearby crude oil futures at $131.25 a barrel are now down $3.10. And the August contract at $132.80, down $1.95 for the afternoon. Ethanol futures are trading at $249.5. That's 3.7 higher. The August at $255, up 7.5, $255 a barrel or a gallon is the trade for the ethanol. The natural gas at $12.44, down 16.4, and the August futures at $12.52, down 16.4 as well. July heating oil, which is diesel fuel, $381.7. That's down 5.9. The August future at $384.7, down 5.4 on the afternoon. July propane, the last trade at $1.69.9, and the August futures at $170.5 for the day. June gold at $867.90, now down 26.80, and July futures are $26.90 lower at $869.20 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,286 is just about 6 points higher on the afternoon, and the U.S. dollar is trading at 73.69. That's up 0.84 for the day. Quick forecast for the two-state region looks like this. In Illinois, a chance for a few isolated thunderstorms this evening, mainly in northwestern Illinois. Otherwise, it'll be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 59 to 65 in the south. Tomorrow, it's short, sunny. Highs will range from 82 in the north to 87 in the south. You're listening to WILL in Urbana, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start by talking about those WASDE numbers that came out this morning. See what the trade reacted like, and then maybe what you thought should have happened. Where did you see things going when you saw the numbers for the ending stocks to begin with?
Well, I think that the corn ended up where we thought it would go, Todd. It just didn't take a straight route getting there. And, you know, as we looked at the sort of non-fluctuating with the beans, but yet the carryout numbers being cut, we really didn't look for beans to take the hard shot down early in the morning, just figuring that as tight as the old crop stocks were, the delays and things out of Argentina, the extra business we'd picked up, and, of course, the problems that we're having with over 20% of the crop yet to be planted, we just didn't look for a sell-off today with all the positive numbers in the bean pit. But by the time the day ended, even with the strong dollar, we didn't close too bad in the bean pit, and closed over $7 in the corn. And we think we'll probably start to see a little resistance from here on up in the corn. We probably got a little bit of room, but there's going to be some resistance up around the 710 to 725 level.
So here's the way the numbers came in from USDA this morning. They now say the ending stocks for this year, that would have been the crop you harvested last fall, at 1.433 billion bushels. That's actually just a little bigger than what USDA had predicted in May, which was 1.383. They dropped from 145 million bushels left in the bin at this fall to 125 million left in the bin for the soybeans. And then for next year, the corn numbers are down pretty dramatically. They were at, 763 in May. That's 763 million bushels. They dropped them 100 million to 673 million. And the soybeans were down as well. They went from 185 to 175, and all that precipitated brand-new contract highs in the corn pit. And you're suggesting that resistance will come. Is that because you don't think people will simply buy, or is there really resistance just to push?
I think, technically, and, of course, we're going to run into just some ideas that we might see some rationing. You know, and like I say, I'm not negative this corn market as we're talking about this, Todd. It's just saying that that's going to be our next, once we've broken through the $7 bracket on a closing basis like we did today, that those will get us up into the next level of looking at where people will be willing to buy and continue to be buyers.
Trade surprised much by the corn number?
I would have to think that dropping the yield of 5 bushels was should have been a shock to most people, Todd. There are people out there, insurance adjusters that we talked to through the day-to-day that said, well, that's not enough. But they're in areas where, when you're in Indiana now here or southern Illinois, why there's many, many counties with the corn ground underwater, and there's an awful feeling of pessimism towards the size of what the corn crop will be this fall in those areas, Todd.
Anything you suggest producers should do other than watch it go up?
I as I said to Dave this morning when he asked, I said it's sort of a time to sit on your hands a little bit. I think when we reach up in that level, another 20 cents higher or so, we're going to be looking at puts because there's an awful lot of weather and an awfully battered up crop to start this year out there, Todd, and it's we don't know how high it can go, but we do know that with the resiliencies of some of these hybrids and that, now that it might look a little better down the road if the weather cooperates, but a lot of ifs in that.
Wayne, we'll talk to you again, I guess on Friday you'll be here.
Friday, we'll be there, 20th year reunion, I think.
20th anniversary for Commodity Week. We'll celebrate that on Friday, and we'll look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He was here as Commodity Week was born back in 1988. 20 years ago. Be sure to tune in for that show on Saturday or listen to it at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, public radio for the farming world from a land-grant institution. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, USDA released its crop weather and conditions report yesterday afternoon. This is the way the numbers laid out. As of June the 8th, about 84% of the wheat crop is headed. That compares to 93% last year and a 90% five-year rolling average. 9% of the crop has been harvested. Last year, 6%. The rolling five-year average at 10% for the winter wheat. And what kind of condition is it in? Well, 37% good, 10% excellent. Soybeans now, 77% of the beans around the nation are in the ground. That compares with 92% last year and 89% on the five-year rolling average. 56% of this year's crop has emerged. And by condition, 50% said to be in good condition, 7% excellent. The previous year at 58 and 12. Let's switch to the golden crop now. 89% of the corn is up and growing. 98% was the number last year. 95% is the rolling five-year average for emergence at this time. Condition said to be about 50% good, 10% excellent. We'll call that 60% across the board. The previous week at 63% good to excellent. And last year, the number was much, much larger at 77%. In good to excellent condition. Now, here are the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota to update you on conditions in their regions.
This is Brad Parks, with Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 8, 2008. A steady succession of severe storms characterized by inches of rain, high winds and tornadoes along with flooding prevented field work and resulted in standing water in fields. Soil and crop erosion have become a concern in many parts of Iowa. Much-needed crop spraying halted, to a large extent, as did hay progress. Hay supplies have become short as weather conditions prevented the harvest of new hay. Severe weather and ponded water and pastures damaged fences and greatly affected pasture utilization. 98% of Iowa's corn crop has been planted, with 89% emerged. Corn condition rated 2% very poor, 8% poor, 34% fair, 47% good, and 9% excellent. Soybeans are 86% planted, which is 11 percentage points behind last year and the five-year average. Soybeans are 63% emerged, which is 24 percentage points behind last year and 21 percentage points behind the five-year average. Soybean condition rated 3% very poor, 7% poor, 37% fair, 47% good, and 7% excellent. First cutting of hay was 13% complete. Oat emergence is nearly complete. Oat heading is 8% for the state, compared to 25% last year and 28% for the five-year average. There were 0.9 days suitable for field work last week, compared to 4.0 days last year at this time. Again, this has been Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 8th. Beneficial above-normal temperatures were recorded this past week. However, heavy rains continued to hinder planting. Rainfall for the week averaged just over 2.5 inches, which was 1.6 inches above normal. The East-Southeastern Crop Reporting District reported a drenching 4.5 inches for the week. Severe storms were prevalent across many areas of the state, causing widespread flooding. Producers continue to hope for drier conditions in the coming weeks, as many acres of soybeans have yet to be planted. Corn planting still lacks 5 percentage points from being finished at 95%, which trails last year's 100% and the five-year average of 99%. 88% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 100% 1 year ago and 98% for the five-year average. The average height of the corn crop was reported at 7 inches, which was 16 inches shorter than last year and 10 inches shorter than the five-year average. The corn crop was rated in fair to good condition. Soybean planting was delayed due to the wet week and only advanced by 9 percentage points to 66% complete. This compares to 96% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. 45% of the crop was reported emerged, well behind the 93% last year and 82% five-year average. The crop reporting district trailing the state in soybean planting progress was the Southwestern Crop Reporting District at only 23%. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 66% filled, compared with 91% last year and for the five-year averages. 24% of the crop was reported turning yellow, compared with 67% 1 year ago and 65% normally. The wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. And it should be no surprise the first cutting of alfalfa made only limited progress at 41% complete, trailing the 78% pace last year and an 80% five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending June 8, 2008. Strong winds, excess rain, lowland flooding, and hail continue to impact crops and impede planting progress. Corn conditions rated 65% good or excellent. Planting is nearly complete with 95% emerged, which is 5 days behind the average. Soybean planting is more than three-quarters complete and rated 66% good or excellent. 59% of the winter wheat was good or excellent. Wheat headed is 5 days behind. Oat conditions rated 86% good or excellent with only a quarter headed. Sorghum planting is over halfway complete. Proso millet and dry bean planting continues to make slow progress. 74% of the alfalfa acreage rated good or excellent, but first cutting progress is about 2 weeks behind. Pasture and range conditions are mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 8, 2008. Field work was limited due to wet conditions. However, producers were able to plant 16% of the state's sweet corn crop and nearly completed green pea plantings for the year this past week. Minnesota's crops were rated in mostly good to excellent condition in spite of heavy rains and strong storms that occurred during the last week. The average temperature for the week was 61.6 degrees, 1.4 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 1% short, 68% adequate, and 31% surplus. Statewide, there were 2.8 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. As of Sunday, June 8th, corn emerged was 94% complete, compared to 99% last year and 97% for the five-year average. Soybeans were 95% planted, compared to 99% last year and 96% for the average. Soybeans were 71% emerged compared to 93% last year and 77% for the average. 13% of the spring wheat was jointed compared to 34% last year and 26% for the average. 17% of the oats were jointed compared to 54% last year and 39% for the average. 9% of the barley was jointed compared to 42% last year and 28% for the average. As of Friday, June 6th, 67% of the corn, 64% of the soybeans, and 82% of the spring wheat were rated in good or excellent condition. 79% of the oats and barley were rated in good to excellent condition. 54% of the potatoes, 61% of the sugar beets, and 65% of the alfalfa were rated in good or excellent condition. Pastures were rated with 67% in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 8, 2008. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 8th. Intense thunderstorms, winds, and heavy showers late in the week caused severe flooding in many central and southern areas of the state. Too much rain fell too quickly on already saturated fields. Over 11 inches was reported in areas already soaked, closing roads and leaving silt and debris. The rain added to the delays from previous week, and some fields already replanted once will need to be replanted again. In some of the hardest hit areas, fields that were planted, along with some fields not yet planted, will likely remain idle this year due to the lateness of the season. Wind and water damage also plagued the wheat and hay fields. Straight line winds and tornadoes damaged many homes and buildings. Some of our reporters took the time to call in their data since their offices and computers were flooded. We thank them for providing this information during this difficult time. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 11.1 inches. Temperatures average from a high of 92 to a low of 52 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 2.6 days were rated as suitable for field work. 94% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, behind last year's 100% planted at this time and also the five-year average of 97%. By areas of the state, 98% of the corn has been planted in the north, 96% in the central region, and 82% in southern Indiana. 83% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 99% for last year and 93% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans remains behind the average planting pace, with 73% of the intended soybeans acreage planted, compared to 98% for last year and 89% for the five-year average. 73% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, compared with 73% for last year and 43% for the five-year average. 98% of winter wheat acreage is headed, compared to 99% for last year and 99% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition improved slightly for the week and is rated as 75% good to excellent, compared to 32% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to talk today with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services. That's an ADM affiliate located in Chicago. He'll help us take up the energy markets for the afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Finally, a beautiful day here in the Midwest. Corn futures were sharply higher, and in the last several days, crude oil futures moved to contract highs, too. They're off those at the moment, though.
Correct. We saw some pretty extensive pressure here today and even yesterday here following the dramatic move on Friday in which we rallied over $10. Market coming under pressure in response to the strength to the dollar. And I think growing concerns over the demand side along with prospects that maybe OPEC will continue to produce some increases in production here as we move along.
Speaking of production, there are some commercials that are running. I don't know whether I picked it up off a cable network or NBC or ABC, one of the broadcast networks, that talked a bit about where our energy comes from. Where does it come from?
Well, we, in terms of production of energy domestically, 71% of this actually coal continues to be the largest source, accounting for about a third in terms of our energy produced. Nat gas is next at 26%, while petroleum is at 18%. So overall, in terms of petroleum, it really is, it accounts for about a third of overall consumption. The imports of petroleum, though, are about double what we actually produce in this country, and that really accounts for the lion's share of what we consume. So basically, we still have a long way to go in terms of moving away from petroleum imports. Certainly, some of these commercials are certainly probably tapping their own breast in terms of what they're looking for in terms of the market.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us today.
Sure.
Steve Platt with Archer Financial Services. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather.
It's National Black Cow Day. Credit for the treat often goes to Frank Wisner of Cripple Creek, Colorado, who in 1893 was inspired to float a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of his glass of root beer after glimpsing the illumination of snow on top of Cow Mountain outside his home. By the way, the drink is also known as a brown cow. On this day in agricultural history in 1869, frozen food was shipped long distance for the first time. Frozen Texas beef was shipped by steamship to New Orleans, frozen by refrigeration equipment invented by John Gorey. The meat was eventually served in hospitals, hotels, and restaurants. Success in the frozen beef market prompted food manufacturers to develop freezing methods of other types, culminating in Clarence Birdseye's flash freezing system that ultimately hit grocery cases in 1934. In 1952, Mylar was registered as a DuPont trademark. Mylar is a very strong polyester film that has gradually replaced cellophane. DuPont touted the polyester film's strength, heat resistance, and insulating properties. It is used as a food wrap in addition to many other non-food uses. And in 1985, in the most embarrassing moment category, Coca-Cola officials announced it was bringing back the old Formula Coke to replace the new Coke nobody wanted. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hey, we finally have some sunny skies, and it looks like it's going to stay that way mostly.
Mostly, but we've got a system out west that is going to likely bring the threat of thunderstorms and showers and some areas, maybe some heavy rain again this weekend. So we're in a little bit of a break in the action, but right now we're going to keep a real close eye on the system for the weekend and into early next week.
And if you could recap, how wet is it in the Midwest at this point?
Well, I tell you, we've had rainfall amounts, as we know, from the flooding in some portions of Indiana that have gone over 10, 12 inches. Conditions all across the Corn Belt and the Midwest, we've had this excessive moisture. And right now, we're probably looking at the odds of adding 1 to 2 to 3 inches of rain in some areas with this next system moving in later on.
And that's just a Friday event. Looks like the temperatures will be really comfortable through that period.
Well, they will, and that's one benefit to the pattern that we're in right now. South to southwest winds aloft will keep temperatures warm, and these systems coming out of the west will temper it before it gets too hot. But until we see things settle down in the North Pacific, we're still going to be under the gun occasionally for some heavy thunderstorm activity.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the way these systems have set up and what's different about this year as opposed to previous years and the way the jet streams are running and what carries the rainfall along with it?
Well, I tell you, one thing we have definitely seen, and this goes back to even what we had over the midwinter months, is a very stormy Pacific Ocean, especially from the Pacific Northwest coast to north of Japan, and that has been an area of intense jet stream winds, and we could probably point our finger to La Nina, where cooler than normal water temperatures in the Pacific have caused a stronger than normal jet stream. Now, we have since seen those water temperatures trending back to normal, but there's usually a bit of lag time between we see the changes in water temperatures to the change in the jet stream, and that stormy Pacific has translated to the stormy and severe weather that we've had across most of North America this spring.
And I do want to check on one other thing. You talked about the stormy Pacific, but we will run into the hurricane season, and there's been some discussion that there might be $6 crude oil out there in the future should we get a few hurricanes that run through the Gulf and mess things up along the Texas coast and in New Orleans, certainly. What are you seeing there, and what kind of conditions do we need to be aware of?
Okay, well, we do need to be aware of a persistent high pressure developing this summer over the Gulf of Mexico and over the southeast United States. That will lend itself to warm water temperatures in the Gulf and off the coast of Florida, and it will lend itself to a unperturbed atmosphere which will allow hurricanes to form. Now, in the current pattern we're in, with this active and strong jet stream, that will negate hurricane and tropical storm formation, at least in the early part of the hurricane season. I think we will probably have a late start to it this year, but come August and into September, we'll need to keep an eye on things.
Don, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don joins us every Tuesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website where you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. The address, willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.